11, John chapter 11. We've been learning in the adult class on Wednesday nights about consider Christ. We want to learn about who Jesus is and what he has done and consider him in every part of our lives. Too many people in America today have ideas about Jesus that are simply not founded in Scripture. And we want to know what the Bible says about Jesus, about who he is, and about what he has done. Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God, and he is God. And that's kind of hard for us to understand, but God had to become a man to live as a man without sin so that he could die for our sins and be our Savior. And that's the way it had to be. There was no other way for mankind to be saved. And we see all of the attributes of deity. That means all of the things that God is, we see in Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He is eternal God, pre-existing eternal God. He's all-knowing God. John 18:4 says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, Jesus is all-knowing. And Jesus is all-powerful. A couple of weeks ago, we studied where there was a great storm on the sea as they were going across, and the disciples had to wake Jesus up in the back of the ship. They thought they were going to die. The boat they were on was being filled with water. Now, can any of you imagine being in the middle of a big sea, so far you can't even see the shore, in the middle of a storm and having it fill up with water? How scary would that be? And Jesus was asleep while all this was going on. The disciples woke him up and said, don't you care that we're going to die? Carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. And the storm quit. The wind and the waves obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all powerful. He's all powerful. There was a seminary professor who was on an airplane one time, and he got seated next to a young boy. And as they were flying, the professor, seminary professor, he thought he would kind of mess with the little boy a little bit. And he looked at the little boy, he said, if you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you a big, shiny apple. And the little boy looked at him and thought for a second. He said, if you can think of something God can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel full of apples. And we have a God that is not limited by anything. He is all powerful. He can do anything. And we have a God that is all-powerful, and we see those attributes of that omnipotence, is the big fancy word for that, omnipotence, the all-powerfulness of God we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus performed a lot of miracles so that we would see the glory of God in his miracles. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we see the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus performed these miracles so we would see the glory of God in him, and also so that we would believe on him. Sometimes, and especially John, was very good to let us know why he wrote the things that he did. And towards the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, John 20, verses 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And we have the Gospel of John that records a lot of the miracles and wonders and signs that Christ did, not all of the things that he did. The world couldn't contain everything that Christ did, but we have some of the things that he did so that you'll believe in Jesus Christ. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, friends, listen, you have everlasting life. Amen. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, but Christ gives life. And tonight, in John 11, look at verse 1. We want to learn about Jesus and his omnipotence, that he is all-powerful, not only to control the physical, the storm, the winds and the waves, but he has the power over life and death. In John 11 and verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, "Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death," listen, "but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And by the way, Jesus is God, and when God the Father gets glory, the Son gets glory. And when the Son gets glory, the Father gets glory. Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your great love for us. Your love for us that is our only hope of life. That you loved us so much that Jesus died for our sins. And Father, I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in here today would hear your word and believe it. Lord, that we would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. That we would see and understand that you don't just love a few people. Your love isn't limited to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but you love everyone. And you love us all the way to the cross. And Father, help us to rejoice in that love tonight. Help us to see how all-powerful Christ is and how you have power over death and hell and the grave. And I pray that if anyone here tonight is not saved, that tonight they would repent and trust in Jesus and receive the free gift of life everlasting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick. The word that Mary and Martha send to Jesus is, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now, of course, Jesus knew Lazarus was sick before anybody told him. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen before it happened, and he knew what the purpose of it all was, and Jesus did love them. In verse 6, it says, "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Jesus would have a purpose in going to Bethany, but his purpose needed to be fulfilled at the right time, so he delayed going. After he heard that he was sick, he waited for 2 days before he left. Now, sometimes God doesn't do things in the time that we want him to. How many of you have ever prayed and asked God for something or for God to do something? Everybody? Yeah, we ask God for things. We ask God to do things. We ask God to help us and to give us answers and to change our circumstances. We ask God for things all the time. Now, God always has an answer. Sometimes his answer is yes. Sometimes his answer is no. And sometimes his answer is not now. And God works everything out in his time. And so when Jesus got the word, he waited. Now Jesus and his disciples heard, so the disciples knew that Lazarus was sick, and they also probably noticed that Jesus didn't do anything for a couple of days. Now what may seem to be delay on our timetable is not delay on God's. Jesus didn't forget about Lazarus. He didn't forget what was going on. He knew exactly what was going on, and God always does everything exactly on time. You ever think about that? Some of you are perpetually late for everything. Stop pointing at your wife. Some of you are perpetually late. It's just the way you are. You figure things out exactly how to get there exactly on time. But Brother Darrell will tell you that on time is late, and early is on time. Amen. Thank you very much. Some of us are perpetually late. Some of you are early all the time. Like, early for me is, 10, 15 minutes. That's good. That's just about right. Some of you show up an hour early. That's weird. That's weird. There's no sense in showing up an hour before your doctor's appointment because they're not going to see you till an hour after your appointment anyway. That's right. We tend to be early. We tend to be late. I hate being late places. I hate leaving late. It makes me sick to my stomach when I can't drive like a Christian because I'm running late. But we may be late. We may be early, but God is always right on time. So he delayed, but his delay was deliberate. He said that this sickness was not unto death, but it was unto the glory of God. Now, God has a purpose in everything that he does, and everything that happens in your life has a purpose according to God's plan. Now, you remember the man who was born blind? Remember, there was a man who was born blind. He had gone his whole life without seeing, and the disciples, being very spiritual, said, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? Because, you know, he did some prenatal sin. He kicked his mama too much or something from the womb. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But the Lord said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There was a purpose in his blindness, and there was a purpose in the Lord's delay in going. Now, look at verse 7. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, after 2 days, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that he has a purpose to do, and the darkness of this world isn't going to hinder him. And Jesus has a work to do, and he's got to work the works while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus had a purpose to fulfill, and he had to do it at exactly the right time. It didn't matter that the Pharisees wanted to kill him. The Jews wanted to stone him. He had to go where he had to go. He had to do what he had to do, and he was going to accomplish his Father's will no matter what. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, verse 11, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. A lot of people have been sick lately. When I get sick, the best thing in the world is to go to sleep. Anybody else feel that way? Listen, if I'm sick, if I could just go to sleep, right? It doesn't matter what kind of sickness it is. If I can just get to sleep and stay asleep, then at least you don't know how bad you feel, right? So when the disciples hear that Lazarus is sick and they hear that he's asleep, they're like, well, that's good. He needs to rest. Because if you're sick, you need rest and fluids. Rest and fluids. If you didn't know, I'm trying to help you tonight. If he sleep, he shall do well. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in his sleep. And I appreciate what Jesus does in verse 14, because I need the Lord to do this for me. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I need that, don't you? I need the Lord to just speak plainly to me. Listen, when you're a child of God and you die, it's temporary. That's why the Lord calls it sleep. But to make them understand, he's not saying he's resting and sleeping. He's saying he is dead. Lazarus has died, and the Lord deliberately delayed going. God had a purpose in his delay, though. He had a purpose in waiting to go. Now look at verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So Jesus has given us the purpose of what's going on with Lazarus. Two, one, for God to get glory. And two, so that the disciples would believe. Studying God's word tonight, God has a purpose in it. He wants you to give glory to God because of the power of Jesus Christ. And he wants you to believe him more. He wants to grow your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we hear God's word, we ought to believe him more. And as we believe him more, he's going to get more glory. Verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. I love Thomas, don't you? Thomas is the one, after Jesus died and rose again, he said, I won't believe unless I can put my hands in the nail prints and in the spear hole in his side. I won't believe. And it's Thomas that says, Lord, listen, if you go down there, they've been trying to kill you. They're going to kill you if you go down there. He's like me. He lacks faith. But on the other hand, he has great faith because he says, let's go too. He's convinced that if Jesus goes, to Bethany, he'll die. But he says, let's go and we'll die with him. See, we're quick to criticize him for not having much faith, but that's pretty impressive faith on the other hand, isn't it? I'm convinced that Jesus is going to get killed by the Jews if he goes down there, but I'm ready to go. Let's go die with him. You know, we have weak faith most of the time. We don't see how things are going to work out. It's one of my favorite things to say is sarcastically, what could possibly go wrong? And some of you are like, don't do that. You're inviting trouble. Listen, I know that a lot of things can go wrong. I know that things can always get worse. Some of you don't know that. You always think, well, what could possibly be worse than this? Give me a minute and I can give you a whole list. It can always be worse. I'm pessimistic like that and have that, but what faith to say, I'm convinced that this is going to go badly. I'm convinced that Jesus is going to die, but I'm ready to go die with him. I look at what's going on in our country today and all of the craziness and all of the hatred and all of the division and all of the strife. And I look at the rise of terrorism as it continues to grow and all of the different things that are going on around the world. It's easy to be afraid in the world today. It's easy to look at it and see, I don't see how our country can go on like this. All I can see is a future where the United States just collapses and all of these terrible things happen. Well, listen to me, that may or may not be true, but if you'll go with Jesus, you can go knowing that you have life everlasting. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So they're not too far away, not too terribly far away from Jerusalem. A lot of people have come to be there for the family and comfort them. By the way, that's a good thing to do. When a family loses a loved one, that you're there and you comfort them and encourage them. So they had a great support group and that was all good. When Martha hears that Jesus is coming, she runs to meet him in the way. And the first thing she says in her despair is, Lord, if you'd have been here, he would have never died. You know, a lot of times when we go through times of grief, we spend a lot of time thinking about what could have been different. If this would have happened, then it wouldn't have been like this. If this would have been done different than that, if I'd have done this or if they'd have done that, and we can make ourselves crazy thinking about the ifs and what ifs. And that's exactly what we see in Martha's heart as she wrestled with the fact that her brother died. Lord, if you'd have just come a little sooner, my brother wouldn't be dead. But look at verse 22. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Listen, this is a possible situation, and I know you could have saved him. You could have taken the sickness away that killed him. I know you could have done that, but even now I know that anything you ask God, God will do it. She had tremendous faith. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now see, she has the same kind of faith that we have, right? Listen, when somebody dies, we know that they trusted the Lord. We can have comfort in our hearts because we know we'll see him again one day. Amen. God's going to raise him up at the last day, and that gives us great comfort, doesn't it? Amen. Listen, friends, I hate funerals. I don't like them. I don't know anybody that does. And I don't know what you say to somebody after they've been to one, but so many times I'll preach a funeral, and people come and ask me, how was the funeral? And I'm like, how do you think it was? It was a funeral. It's not good. And the only answer I can ever give is it was as good as it could be. About as good as it could be. About the best you can hope in any funeral is that the gospel's preached and people's hearts are comforted by the word of God. That's the best. It's the best. By the way, I've been to a lot of funerals where the gospel wasn't preached. And that's pathetic. So Jesus is here in the time of the wake. It's funeral time. They've already had the funeral. He's already in the tomb. But But as he comes, I just want you to see it, that Martha had the same kind of faith that we do. When we come to a funeral and our loved ones are there in the casket, and we go, this is awful and this is sorrowful, but it's not sorrow without hope, because we know they trusted Christ and we'll see them again someday. That's our hope. And that's the hope that Martha had that day. But look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, listen, your brother's dead, but he will rise again, because I am the resurrection and the life. It's not just that we have the resurrection we look forward to, but Jesus is the resurrection. And he said, if you die in Christ, you will be raised again one day. And if you're alive when Jesus comes, you will live forevermore. The rapture could happen. And if you are in Christ, you won't ever die. That's what the Lord's saying. Believest thou this? Verse 27, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Verse 27, I want you guys to look at this. Everybody look right here. I believe that thou art the Christ. What she's saying is, everything I understand from the Scriptures. Now, all she had at that time was the Old Testament, right? All of the promises from Genesis to Malachi concerning Messiah, she said, I believe you're that. We don't understand that. A lot of you think Christ is Jesus' last name, but it's not. It's who he is. It's his title. It's not part of his name. It's Messiah. It's the chosen one, the anointed one. It's the one that was promised from Genesis and all the way through. It's the one that Moses and the prophets spoke about, who would come to be the payment for our sins, who would conquer death and hell and the grave, the one who would come and have an everlasting kingdom. And when she said, I believe thou art the Christ, she was saying, everything I know from the Scriptures about Messiah, I believe you are. This is a huge statement that she made. My brother's dead. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't be dead, but I know you can do everything. And she said, I know he'll be raised at the last day. But Jesus says, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? She says, I believe thou art the Christ. I believe that thou art the Son of God. You got to understand, when you say Son of God, you're saying Jesus is God. So many people don't understand this. They can't get this quite straight. But by being the Son of God, that makes him equal with God. And you can't be equal with God without being God. If you are the Son of God, you're equal with God. Therefore, you must be God. You can't be equal with God without being God. Do you understand that? That's when Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He was saying that they were equal. And so she's saying, I understand thou art you're the Messiah. Everything the Old Testament said about you, I understand, I believe. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're God. That the Scriptures promised would come. So she makes this great statement of faith. Verse 28, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So when Martha heard Jesus was coming, she got up and ran. This time it's Mary that's left sitting, and she's obviously heartbroken. You know what's on her mind, because when she comes to Jesus, she falls down and she says the same thing that Martha said. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't be dead. She's lamenting over what might have been, what could have been. I want to encourage you, when you go through a time of sorrow, don't dwell there. We can't change yesterday. What's done is done. And all we have is today. And trust in God that he knows what he's doing. Whether we understand it or not. The reality is, even when we think we understand it, we really don't. His ways are beyond our ways. We don't know what God's doing. We just have to learn to trust him. He loves us, and he has our best interest at heart. When Jesus, therefore, verse 33, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, Jesus wept. Some of you go through a hard time sometimes. Maybe it's something exactly like this. Somebody that you love dearly dies. And some of you, in the midst of the trial and the struggle and the heartache and pain, you wonder if God cares. I can assure you, Jesus cares. He saw Mary and Martha weeping. He saw the Jews that came with them weeping. And it grieved him in his spirit. It troubled him inside. And Jesus wept. Why did Jesus cry that day? Do you think he cried because Lazarus was dead? Now, some of you may think that he cried because Lazarus was dead, but I don't think so. Because he knew what he was about to do. You see, we cry when somebody we love dies because we know that's it. We're not going to see them again in this life, and it's heartbreaking. We cry because of a sense of loss, but Jesus knew nothing was lost. Let me tell you why Jesus cried that day. I believe, at least in part, he cried that day because he felt the pain of the other people. The scriptures tell us to weep with those that weep, and Jesus wept with those that were hurting. It hurt him to see them hurting. Now, you guys know I'm a big crybaby. As I've gotten older, I've gotten a little bit better at controlling my emotions, but funerals, I told you, I don't like them, and it's hard for me because my heart breaks with people. And I can do really good most of the time, Brother Joe, until it's the end of the service and they open the casket and people start to come by. And when I see the family and friends hurting, it hurts me. It hurts me. And I can hold it together pretty good until I see them hurting, and it hurts me. Friends, Jesus hurts when you hurt. Listen, he still had a purpose in it all. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He waited so that Lazarus would be dead for 4 days. That was all on purpose. It was deliberate. Right. But even though he did it and it was all for his purposes, it still hurt him. Amen. Do you see that? Even when God's bringing you through trials and difficulties and hard times, he's doing it for a purpose. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. He cares, and he cares deeply. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. The way that Jesus orchestrated everything by waiting as long as he did, several things happened. By waiting that long, he ensured that he would have been most assuredly dead. A lot of times in those days, they had wakes, and they would wait for a few days before they put somebody in the tomb to make sure they were really dead. Now, that sounds gruesome to us, but that's what they did. They literally would wait, because sometimes somebody would just be in a coma or something. They would revive. And so by waiting 4 days, it ensured that he would be in the grave. It also gave time for people to hear the news and to come and be there. You see, Jesus wanted people to believe in him. He wanted people to be there to see and to hear what was about to happen. And so the way he orchestrated, even with Mary and Martha, and the way that Martha came out to meet him and then Mary came later and went out suddenly, how that all of the people that were there mourning with them came. And then they all followed him to the grave. Do you see how Jesus worked out every little detail? Every little detail he worked out. Verse 39, Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. That's pretty rough, isn't it? It's pretty rough. In those days, they don't have the embalming that we have, and when somebody passed away, they began, the process of decay began immediately. That corruption started immediately. And she just said plainly, Lord, he's already started to decay. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now look. Jesus said, if you will believe, you'll see the glory of God. He said, I want you to take the stone away. And they said, no, we can't do that. He's been in there 40, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks by now. You don't want to take that cover off. It'd be bad. He said, didn't I say if you believe, you'd see the glory? So when he said that, they took the stone away. Now look at it. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Listen, everybody's followed. They're all heartbroken. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. For 4 days, he says, take away the stone. He prays, and he tells the Lord, he prays to the Father, letting him know why he's praying. I'm just saying this out loud so everybody here will know. The only reason I'm praying out loud right now is so they will know that I am sent from you. Jesus looks into that cave and cries out for the dead to come out. And Lazarus comes out bound, basically looking kind of like a mummy, all wrapped up, and he comes out. Now I want you guys to just imagine with me for a second what that would have been like for Lazarus. Listen, I don't know where his spirit was, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, but Jesus hadn't died and rose again yet. There is a place called paradise where those who died before Christ died for our sins went. Abraham's bosom. I tend to believe his spirit was down there in paradise for 4 days. And while he's down there hanging out with Abraham, all of a sudden he hears Jesus. And when Jesus calls, you come. And I can just imagine what it was like when he all of a sudden opened his eyes and took a breath, and he's got the napkin on his face, and he had heard the voice of Jesus, and there's a light there because he's in the cave, and he sits up. I got to imagine that he had to cough. Maybe sneeze. I mean, I'm just saying, just imagine what it would have been like. You're in paradise with Abraham, and all of a sudden you're in a cave, wrapped up. The Bible says he came out bound. I mean, they had wrapped him up like a mummy. I mean, not exactly like the Egyptians did it, but that's the idea. And so he sits up and he comes stumbling out of the cave, and you can imagine how bright it was. I mean, if you're just inside in the dark for a minute and you go out in the sunlight, hurt your eyes. He's been 4 days. Friends, I want you to imagine those things. It's important because this is the truth. This isn't some story. The spirit of Lazarus left his body and Jesus called it back because he's all-powerful God and he has power to give life where there's death. And while we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation right now, while our musicians are going, I want you to stop and listen to me for just a second. Lazarus was physically dead. Jesus brought him back to life so that you would understand this. You are spiritually dead without Christ. And only Jesus has the power to give you life. It's not really unlike what happened to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. He calls the dead to life. And tonight, he calls you to believe in him. He says your name through his spirit. He calls you by name and he says, come to me. Jesus is calling you to believe in him tonight, and if you will, he'll give you everlasting life. He alone has power over death because he conquered death when he died in our place and rose again the third day. And friends, listen, If you don't know for sure tonight, if you were to die, if you go to heaven, you can know. You can know. The Word of God says that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Son of God, we may know that we have eternal life. If you've got questions about that, you can come down here and talk to me. You can talk to your teacher, your Wednesday night teacher, your Sunday school teacher. But tonight, you make sure that you know you have life. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number?
Page 540.
Number 540.